Take your Bibles and turn to Matthew. That ain't happening, right? Okay. Matthew chapter 14. You know, and I want to apologize to our guests before I get started, because I'm liable to say anything. I know. Just to explain myself before I preach, our God is not ordinary, and I ain't either, so, it just happens that way. We give God the glory for everything that he's done. And I know it's the week before Thanksgiving, and it's the Sunday before Thanksgiving, and our God didn't give me a Thanksgiving message, but he gave me a message of faith, and actually gave me a message of faith with a purpose, faith with a purpose. So let us pray, and let's get into the Word of God. Father, we thank you, we glorify you, we honor you. And Lord, I humbly ask that I be removed out of the way, and that, Lord God, you're glorified, you're honored, you're lifted up, and Lord God, that people will hear your words, will hear your voice, and respond, Lord God, to the call that you have placed on their life. Lord God, let's make this moment, this day, this week, and every week going forward, every week that you bless us with, let us make it about you. Remove anything from our lives that is not of you, and let us honor you. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Matthew chapter 14, starting in verse 19. Matthew 14 and verse 19. And I want you to understand something. Faith that has a purpose. You know, there's so many things that we believe in. There's so many things that we talk about. There's so many things we consider. But we don't ever consider the purpose of faith. When faith is doing what it should do in our lives, it has a purpose. It is purposeful. It is intentional. Faith works for a reason. And we have to understand that. So look at verse 19. Ordering the people to sit down on the grass, he took 5 loaves and 2 fish, and looking up toward heaven, he blessed the food. And breaking the loaves, he gave them to the disciples. And the disciples gave them to the crowds. Verse 20. And they all ate and were satisfied. They picked up what was left over of the broken pieces, 12 baskets full. There were about 5,000 men who ate besides women and children. Verse 22. Immediately, he made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side while he sent the crowds away. After he had sent the crowds away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. And when it was evening, he was there alone. But the boat was already a long distance away from the land. Battered by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Verse 25. And the fourth watch of the night, and in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. Let's stop right there for a moment. Jesus had just fed the 5,000. You know, the disciples, we're familiar with the story where Jesus was, all these crowds came to Jesus and they were saying, send the crowds away because guess what? We don't have enough food and they're tired and they need to go away. And then Jesus told the disciples, he said, you give them something to eat. You feed them. And then they said, well, we don't have anything. We just have these fish and these loaves and that's it. And Jesus sat down and he prayed and he broke the fish and he broke the bread and he did all of these things and everyone was fed and then there was a remnant left. And then after that act, after that moment of faith that Jesus taught the disciples at that time, he was teaching them clearly. You give them something to eat. You act. You take the faith. You're following me around. You're walking around with me. You're seeing my blessings and all these things. You give them something to eat. You see, faith with a purpose doesn't just sit in a pew, does it? Faith with a purpose gets feet, it gets legs, it gets arms, it gets a voice, it gets so many different things. And then not only does it get all those things, but it puts them into action. You see, we have this Christian faith, don't we? We have this faith that we stand on and what we believe in, and we tie all these different moral things to it that we think make us Christians. Well, I don't drink, and I don't smoke, and I don't do drugs, and I obey the speed limit, and, you know, I don't steal, and you know, I don't talk about people. We tie all these things to our faith, right? Don't we? If you want to be known as a Christian, what are you going to be known as? Are you going to be seen at the ABC store? Huh? Not unless the bus stops. They're on the way back from the casino, right? Y'all ever notice that? Always the church bus has an accident on the way back from the casino. And it's like, what were they doing down there? But we tie that to our faith, don't we? We tie that. This identifies me as a Christian because guess what? I'm not at the ABC store. I vote this way. I vote that way. I think this way. I think that way. Is that the purpose? Is that a faith with purpose? Jesus said, feed them. You know, remember the command he gave Peter? Do you love me? Yes, Lord, I love you. Then what? Feed my sheep. Wow. Prove your love for me by feeding my sheep. You don't prove love for Jesus. You don't show your faith anymore by not walking down the liquor aisle in the grocery store. And y'all, you know, look, common sense tells you there's other stuff down the liquor aisle that you may have to get. Just because you're on the liquor aisle doesn't mean you're buying liquor, right? Exactly. Hey, my Publix out at home, guess what? That's where the frozen pizzas are. It's facing this way, the liquor's this way, I walk down the aisle like this way. Okay? But my faith with a purpose puts an action with it, right? That's what Jesus said. He said, go back just a few verses. Hey, go back to verse 16. He says, but Jesus said to them, they do not need to go away. You give them something to eat. Exclamation point. You give them something to eat. Guess what? Jesus knew what he had empowered them with, and yet the disciples weren't willing to tap in it right now because they saw what they saw. And then Jesus turned around and he said, hey, watch this. I'm going to pray. Y'all going to have some work to do because I'm getting ready to start handing out food. Okay? And y'all, I'm here to tell you right now, this church has seen that happen in action just a couple of weeks ago when we were stuffing those shoe boxes, didn't we? We had to stop and pray for an increase, and guess what? We got an increase. Now, this ain't, y'all ain't no naming and claiming. They know I ain't naming and claiming. But I'm going to tell you, we had a need. God met it. Real simple. So the faith has a purpose. Our faith was not in, hey, do I need to send you to the store with the checkbook? Our faith was in, I talk to God, and if I'm in God's will, he blesses it. And the purpose of it moves us forward. Guess what? He provided what we needed to finish the boxes. And guess what everyone did? They kept working. They kept going. Now look at this. So when he sent them away, after he prayed, he sent them away. He said immediately, after this great act, they collected all these baskets, Jesus sent the disciples away. And then guess what he did? He stayed there and he dismissed the crowds. He sent the ones away that didn't put their faith into action. He sent them away. And then he stayed there and he dismissed the crowds. Why did he do that? Okay, when he dismissed the crowd, everybody was gone but him. And then he took a moment to go, and he went took a moment to go up on the mountain and pray. Now keep in mind, he sent everyone away, but he sent the disciples away first. And I want you to understand something. There's a key point to this. Let's keep reading just a little bit further. Okay? Verse 24 says, the boat was already a long distance from the land, battered by the waves, for the wind was contrary. He sent the disciples away. He put them in a boat. He told them to get in the boat and go. And they went straight out into trouble. They went straight out into trouble. You hear what I'm saying? They left the presence of God and in reality, they hadn't left him, but Jesus wasn't with them. And they went straight out into trouble. They just saw the act of faith. They just saw God pray and answer his own prayer and multiply the fish. They just watched it. He put them in a boat. He sent them out into a circumstance that wasn't going to be good for them, but should have, based on what they saw, because based on the action, he did it immediately. He didn't wait. He did it immediately. He said, okay, I'm still in teaching mode. I'm going to teach them something. Get in the boat and go away. I'm going to handle the crowd. Because you see, you got to keep in mind, at this stage in their life, the disciples were all about work. They had that big Martha syndrome going on. And everything about them, they were Martha, 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 Martha. Kind of like we got right now. We got a bunch of people downstairs, and praise God for them, because they need to be downstairs helping to get everything ready. I'm not saying they're Marthas, but there's always something that needs to be done. And then here we are with the disciples. They, you know, Jesus is like, no, it's more important that you understand what I'm trying to teach you than you spend time trying to deal with these people right now. So I'm going to put you in a boat. I'm going to send you out into the sea. And then the sea was contrary. The sea was contrary. In other words, it was against the disciples. They were sent out into an area where something was going to be working against them. Now, faith with a purpose, y'all, just real simple question. We're sent into a city, we're sent into a state, we're sent into a country where they're working against us. The country, everyone, and I know we're recording this, but they're contrary to Christ's message. They're contrary to the message of the gospel, right? Because if we were receptive to it right now, as me and Brother Kent were talking about this morning, we would be in a better shape than we are right now spiritually, right? The division that's in between us, all of these things wouldn't be going on, would it? So we're in a contrary situation. We're in a situation that's working against us. Well, see, the wind wasn't working with the disciples, and Jesus stuck them out there in the middle of the water. And he let them marinate in it for a while. You ever let anything marinate before? Okay, what's the purpose of the marination? It makes it taste good. It makes it taste good. But it should, when you sit in a situation for a while, it should cause you to react in a certain way, eventually. Now, you got to keep in mind, it was evening, and he sent them out. He sent the crowd away, and then he went up on the mountain to pray for a good period of time. They're out there still fighting the seas, and Jesus is praying away from them. They're out there fighting the seas, and Jesus is praying away from them. Listen to that. And then, during the fourth watch, guess what he does? He starts walking to them. Now, let's read some more scripture, and I'll get to the meat of the sermon, okay? And the fourth watch was it was the fourth watch of the night. The fourth watch of the night came from 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. in the morning, okay? You had three watches. The Jews technically had three watches, but once they adopted a lot of the Roman culture, they gained that fourth watch, okay? That fourth watch came from 3 a.m. to 6 a.m., so it was divided up into quarters over a 12-hour period. So Jesus is, it was the fourth watch of the night, so it was still dark, but it probably was closer to dusk, because guess what? When the disciples saw Jesus came walking to them on the sea, and when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, it is a ghost, and they cried out in fear. Now keep in mind, they've been out there all night long with the contrary wind. They've been out there all night long in an agonizing situation. But before they got in that situation, They had seen the power of God through the loaves and fishes. And the main thing that they could think of was their fear. See, that's not faith with a purpose. Their faith with a purpose should have led them to do what? Answer me, congregation. Their faith with a purpose should have led them to do what? When the wind was contrary. To pray. Because that's what Jesus did. It wasn't about him causing the increase. It's about the action of what he did. He prayed, and then guess what? The fish and the loaves were multiplied. Faith with a purpose prays. It's an action. It's an action. You're going to be in contrary situations all the time. We read in Joshua chapter 1, God says, I will be with you always. He has to be with us always because we're always in a battle. We're always fighting. We're always struggling. We will always be this way. So your faith is not tied to whether you're drinking alcohol or smoking cigars or doing everything else. Your faith is tied to an action that's put behind a faith in God. You see that? Now look at this. Now this is, all of it's good, but this is good too. You ready? And so they look what they did. When the disciples saw him, now they're beat up by the wind, and the boat's shaking and all this other stuff, and they look up and they see him walking on the sea, and they were terrified and said it was a ghost. It's dark. It's the fourth night. It may have been close to Sunday. Could see someone walking on the water. That ain't normal, right? How many people have y'all seen walking on water? Huh? It ain't a normal thing, is it? And then they say, well, it's a ghost. Their fear was compounded. They were dealing with the contrary, so they're already afraid. And then they turn around and they see this thing that they don't normally see. Someone walking on the water, and they say it's a ghost. They can't identify it as Jesus. They can't identify him yet. They just see something. And so instead of their faith kicking in and thinking, hey, guess what? It's a ghost, instead of, hey, there's somebody walking on water. Let's find out what he knows. Because the wind ain't bothering him, right? The waves aren't tossing him, but they're already in fear mode. It's a ghost! Like they were in some kind of Scooby-Doo episode or something, right? And we all know why they saw a ghost, right? Spent a little too much time in that mystery van alone, right? We know they did. Y'all ever thought about that? And they all had the munchies, too. You ever notice the only one that could see them, see to hear the dog talking was them? That's a little fishy. I'm just saying. I ain't built right. Y'all know that. But look what Jesus did. In verse 27, he said, but immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, take courage. It is I. Do not be afraid. He sent them out, hoping they'll respond in faith. He's praying. They're out there worried. And then they're so fearful. There's no faith anywhere involved. He walks up and he says, hey, take courage. It is I. Do not be afraid. Faith with a purpose doesn't fear what it's going to run into. Faith with a purpose. You see, once again, faith doesn't worry about being seen in the liquor aisle. Faith doesn't worry about being seen broken down in front of the ABC store. Faith with a purpose doesn't worry about that. Faith with a purpose, what is it concerned with? Whether or not it's pleasing God. You see what I'm saying? But when you take your religion and you tie it to all of these other things, you've taken all the faith out of it. You've diminished it, you've watered it down. But Jesus says, take courage, it is I. Now, this is interesting. Take courage, it is I. I want you to do me a favor. I want you to take your Bibles and turn to Isaiah chapter 43. Isaiah chapter 43. Jesus, knowing what they're going through, he knew the waves were being tossed. He knew that they weren't responding in faith. Because let me tell you something. Faith stimulates God. You hear what I'm saying? We have the woman with the issue of blood. It got his attention. Hebrews chapter 6, chapter 11, verse 6. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Faith makes God do something. You see what I'm saying? See, not only does faith cause you to work, but it also puts God into action too. Okay? Faith causes you to do something. And understand this. When Jesus comes walking across the sea, and he says, take courage, it is I. Look at chapter 43 and verse 12. Jesus identifies himself specifically with God with those three words. It is I. Verse 12. It is I who have declared and saved and proclaimed. And there was no strange God among you. So you are my witnesses, declares the Lord. I am God. It is I that's walking across this sea. It is God that is walking across and coming to you. It is not just a ghost. It is not your fear, but it is I. Take courage. Do not be afraid. He's telling you right then and there, your faith overcomes the fear, and your fear should not be anywhere mixed in with your faith. It is I. Okay, you want another one? Flip right over. Flip over one more page. Go to chapter 44 and go to verse 24. Look how he identifies himself. See, Jesus takes on the same, because he is God, he takes on the same characteristics as God, the same statements and the same identity. Look at verse 24. Thus says the Lord, your Redeemer, and the one who formed you from the womb. I, the Lord, am the maker of all things, stretching out the heavens by myself and spreading out the earth all alone, causing omens of boasters to fail, making fools out of diviners, causing wise men to draw back and turning their knowledge into foolishness, confirming the word of his servant and performing the purpose of his messengers. It is I who says to Jerusalem shall be inhabited, and the cities of Judah that shall be built, and I will raise up her ruins again. It is I who says to the depth of the sea, be dried up, and I will make your rivers dry. It is I who says of Cyrus, he is my shepherd and will perform all my desire and declare of Jerusalem, she will be built, and all the temples, your foundation will be laid. Jesus walked across the water and says, God is here. Don't be afraid. Put your faith into purpose. Make your faith do something. It is I. Flip over one more page. Chapter 45, verse 12. It is I who made the earth and created man upon it. I stretch out the heavens with my hands and I ordain all their hosts. So when Jesus came across the sea and said, it is I, he's telling the disciples, all you had to do was believe in me and pray and do what I did because I'm God. And it is me that's working. I'm working. I'm moving this sea. I'm the one that calmed the wind. I'm the one that sent you out here. I'm the one that multiplied the fish. Go back to Matthew chapter 14. Look at this. And Peter said, verse 28, Peter said to him, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. Now look at this. Everybody really gives Peter a hard time about this. Okay? Everybody really gives Peter a hard time about this. Now we give him some compliments too because we say Peter stepped out of the boat. Well, I give him credit for that. He stepped out of the boat, but he didn't keep his faith purposed. He didn't keep it focused. And everybody says, well, he took his eyes off Jesus. That's not the message here. It's not about him taking his eyes off Jesus. Let's read the scripture. And he said, and look what God says. Look what Jesus says. He says, come. And Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came towards Jesus. But seeing the wind, see, understand this. This is where we miss it. Peter stepped out on faith even through the contrariness of the wind. The wind, no time had Jesus stopped the wind before Peter stepped out. What happened? He took his faith and said, I'm going. But then he did something different. He did something very, very different. But seeing the wind, he became frightened. Listen to this statement. If you're taking notes, write it down. Faith doesn't look, it acts. A-C-T-S, not A-X. It acts. Faith doesn't look, it acts. You get it? Peter saw the wind. What he saw was the evidence of what the wind was doing. When he saw Jesus, he didn't see that. He saw what the Lord was doing. He saw the Lord's act of faith. And he wanted to mirror that. Okay? You get it? He wanted to mirror what God was doing. But he turned around and he looked back at the world and he stopped acting on what he was already believing could happen. You see what I'm saying? It ain't about him taking his eyes off Jesus, because Jesus is, hey, let me tell you something. Whether, has anyone here seen Jesus? Raise your hand if you have. Well, good. I'm glad that's not another sermon. John, put your hand up. But you know what I'm saying. You haven't seen him. Yet your faith is where? In him. Why? Why? Because he told you to. Right. You're on the smart pew, Miss Jan. You're doing good. I understand this. Your faith responds to God because you don't ever see it. You just know it. And it doesn't matter whether Jesus was on that water or not, or if Jesus was on the shore. It doesn't matter. Peter stepped out because he had that action of faith that caused him to move. And if he had never paid attention to all the things in the world going on around him, he would have kept going towards Jesus. But that contrary wind, that's why Jesus didn't stop the wind when he asked Peter to come. You notice that? He didn't make it calm before he asked Peter to step out. He never did that. He never did that. And notice what Peter did. Peter's faith, short-lived as it was, he didn't say, Lord, stop this wind, which would have been a good thing too, but stop this wind so I could come to you. He just said, Lord, if it be you, let me come to you. And in the middle of all of his trouble, guess what Peter was willing to do? In the middle of the storm, step out and keep going. There's your faith. That's your purposed faith. It's not whether you're smoking a cigarette in your backyard, Miss Jan, in your tank top. It don't matter. Okay?
That's not a pretty picture.
Yeah. I want it on note. I did not say that. She did. It's being recorded. But look what happened. You see, here's the key. Faith, a purposed faith, recognizes God. You see what I'm saying? It doesn't recognize your list of do's and don'ts. It doesn't recognize that. You see, we think our faith, well, if you're going to be a Christian, guess what you won't do? Yes, you won't talk about this, and you won't do this, and you won't harumph about that, and harumph about this, and you won't turn your nose up at this one and that one because they're driving in the left lane, and we're going down the right lane, and they're all wrong, and la 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 la. That's not the faith. We have blue pews. You have red pews. You know, you ever watch that Dr. Seuss cartoon when they had the two different, the Sneetches, yeah. There was red Sneetches and green Sneetches. Yeah, some had stars and some didn't. And so then all the other ones started getting stars, and then they went and get the stars taken off of and all this other stuff because they were trying to determine who. That has nothing to do. That didn't identify them. That didn't identify them. Hey, y'all, listen. It didn't take faith for you to get up and come to church. You had to come to church for the right purpose. Now, if you came for turkey, I hope you're not waiting on it, because, you know, we might have fried chicken. You know what? We can completely do that, can't we? We might have a fish fry downstairs. I don't know what's going on. But faith engages because of what? Because it sees God all the time. Even when he can't be seen, it sees God. You see what I'm saying? And what God was teaching them, what Jesus was teaching them, was, you know what? You can't see me. You're in a contrary situation. The purpose of your faith was to react. When I told you to feed them, you should have saw the power that was with you, which was God. And you should have just said, you know what? I've seen all these miracles of Jesus. He's healed people. They've got up and walked. The blind could see. All of this other stuff going on. And guess what? The simple matter of feeding folks, I can't do. But I can in the power of God. That's why Jesus says, you do it. You do it. Put your faith. Look, it wasn't about making them like them. It was about them seeing the act of faith. Because guess what would have happened? When you saw it in me, oh, what do you have? You got Jesus. That's what I have. Good. Because a lot of people don't want to be told what they can drink and wear and all that other stuff, can they? Well, if you're a Christian, that dress will be below your knees. Well, if you were some kind of pastor, you'd be standing up here in a suit. Y'all see how I'm sweating already. I usually am in a suit, but I didn't want to get nothing on my clothes. Going back to the it is I. And we're going to close up. But seeing the wind, in verse 30, but seeing the wind, he became frightened. And beginning to sink, he cried out, Lord, save me. Now, one thing Peter remembered is that Jesus said, it is I. So he didn't call back to the boat and ask for them to throw him a lifesaver. He didn't ask for Philip, James, John, Nathaniel. He didn't ask for nobody. See, faith acts out. It acts. It has a purpose. But it also calls on the right thing or the right one. You understand what I'm saying? He didn't turn around. He was going to Jesus. He started sinking. Guess what he didn't do? Hey, guys, I'm sinking. Help me out. Because guess where those guys were? Look at that guy. He's sinking. But he said, Lord, save me. And when Jesus said, it is I. Remember those scriptures we read back in Isaiah? It is I, the one who redeems you. I'm the one. You see, it's only him that could have got him out of that water. It was only him that could have saved him from the mess that he was in. And even though Peter took that step and walked out, his faith was purposed. And then his faith was still purposed in the calling of Jesus and asking him to save his soul. Because Peter knew all along he was the only one that could save him. You see, so we always fault Peter for sinking. But when Peter was in trouble, guess who he called on? Yeah! When life was too hard, guess who he called on? When he needed saving and he needed to be lifted up, guess who he called on? There you go. You see, it ain't about whether he took his eyes off Jesus or not. Don't misinterpret that scripture. Focus on the acts of faith, that purpose. And guess what he had? What happened? When he called for Jesus, look what happened. Immediately, Jesus stretched out his hand. He stretched out. See, the moment you call on him, that's what faith does. It's instantaneous. It reacts immediately, and it stimulates God to do something. He won't just sit there when you say, Lord, save me. He won't just look at you and go, I didn't put you there. You need to get yourself out. No, what he does is he stretches his hand out, and he comes to you. Wow. You got to have faith. See, if Jesus, Robert, hey, amen. He's helping me preach today because I'm telling you, if he called out to anyone else, was Buddha there? Was his yoga instructor there? Was his financial planner there to pull him out? He was drowning, he was dying, he was sinking, he was going under. He was blowing up. I'm not preaching that. And it was immediate. It was instantaneous. There wasn't even, Jesus didn't have to think about it. Peter's calling out in faith because he's near death and he's hurting. So guess what? Peter knew he was dying. Peter knew he was going to die. And Peter knew he didn't have control over it. So his faith had a purpose. And guess what his purpose was? To save his rotten soul from a devil's hell. Woo! See, that's what it takes to get saved. That's what it took for me. Oh, I love the way God is transitioning this. See, I had to call out, Lord, save me. Because, see, I needed Jesus to bring some meaning to my sorry existence. You see, because man you're looking at right now, he didn't drink. He didn't smoke. He didn't do drugs. Ain't been arrested. Ain't been in prison. I haven't even experienced any near-death things. I haven't. I haven't had that Damascus Road testimony. I wasn't knocked off my horse like Sergeant York was. I didn't go through all that. Those of you who don't know who Sergeant, I hear them whispering, who's Sergeant York? Sergeant York, y'all ain't ever see that movie? He was a sergeant in World War I who was knocked off his horse by a lightning bolt and went in the church, got saved, and went over there and wouldn't kill nobody. But I understand this. I didn't have one of those experiences. But you know what Jesus did? He showed me how I was incomplete and undone. And that, David, as nice as you, I'm glad you don't smoke and you don't drink and all this stuff, but you're still doomed for devil's hell because you haven't accepted me as your Lord and Savior. Because all of your good things ain't getting you no closer to heaven. It ain't getting you no closer to me. You're relying on your goodness and your separation from the worldly things to look good to God. When Jesus said, all I need to hear you do is say, Lord, save my wretched soul. I've said it before. It ain't about whether you've been to jail or not. That's irrelevant. Listen, every last one of us, the only difference between us and the folks in prison is they got caught and we didn't. I don't care. We've all done something worthy of prison. That's the only difference. So, your faith needs to have a purpose. And it's not whether you have. It has nothing to do with whether or not you're drinking wine. I'm not approving of that. Don't get me wrong. Okay, y'all, I'm not violating the church bylaws or covenants. Okay, I'm not telling everybody to go drink. All right, I ain't doing that. But that's not your faith. A clear sign of your faith is like when me and Don Minyard get downstairs to this Thanksgiving dinner and we start fighting over the end of the line because we want to be last and not first. Of course, I always win because guess what? I'm the pastor. I get to do what I want, right? Not really. I have no respect. You understand? I don't like him. You understand what I'm saying? Put a purpose behind your faith. Okay? Quit putting conditions behind your faith. And when you step out of the boat in the middle of the storm, it's okay. And if you start sinking, and Jesus says, why did you not, oh, ye of little faith? He questioned him about his faith. But guess what he did, though? Because the teaching moment was, hey, you know what? You should have just kept coming, but you didn't. So since you didn't keep coming, guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to reach out and help you because you called out. But the next time you step out of the boat, don't let the world get in your way. Because you see, after he got in the boat, the wind was calm. Once he got in the boat, you understand? Some of you guys have to understand the purpose behind your faith has got to be more than just whether or not you're living a righteous life, but it's got to be, am I living it the right way? Is this faith that I'm saying I have, is it doing something? Does it mean something? Is it stimulating something? Is it? Or is your faith just a group of rules and guidelines that you want to follow? Ask yourself that question. I hope that made sense. If it didn't, marinate on it. Put a purpose behind it. Amen. Your turn. I'm going to ask everybody to close their eyes. I'm going to ask everyone to bow their head. And I'm going to ask everyone to ask yourself this question. My faith that has a purpose, what does that mean for my life? What does that mean that I should do? What does it mean for me? Faith has one purpose. To show you and to show God how much you need Him. Faith doesn't care about faith doesn't care about all your secular things. Faith wants to know, are you looking to Jesus? And when you do, that faith triggers a response from God. So if you're sitting here today and you're basing your relationship with God based on what the things you're abstaining from, then you got the wrong faith. Your faith doesn't have a purpose. Abstaining from alcohol doesn't save you. Look, I know plenty of Christians that smoke cigarettes, okay? That don't save you. Because you abstain from that. But ask yourself this, is the faith that you have right now, does it trust in what God can do or does it trust in what you're not doing? You understand that? I hope that made sense. Well, I'm not doing this, I'm not doing that, I'm not talking about people, so my faith is good. What does it do? Father, we ask you today to bring clarity to those who do not believe. And stimulate them into the believing that faith is action to you and you reciprocating to them. Faith is a cry to you and you coming to them. Help them to understand where they're missing. Help them, Lord God. That one that doesn't know you and doesn't know the free pardon of sin, let them realize that it is you, as you said in your word, it is I that redeems you. There's no other redemption. There's no other way. Draw them near to you. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.